Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
That's not bad at all.
Hey, don't take those, man.
But let me tell you something. I love weed. Okay? I love it.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
I'm Jim Burns. Substance abuse has become all too common in our culture. Children as young as 9 and 10 years old are turning to alcohol and prescription drugs in hopes of easing some of the pressure and pain they're experiencing. That's amazing. Well, John Baker knows how they feel, and in his teens, he tried to overcome his insecurities, his feelings of worthlessness, with alcohol. Well, during the years that followed, he got married and he started a family. His career flourished, but his drinking got more and more out of control. But there's good news to tell you about the John Baker story. And during the next half hour, he joins me here in studio to talk about finding freedom from your hurts, hangups, and habits. So if you or someone you know has struggled with substance abuse, stay with us in this most important edition of Homeward.
Well, it gets lampooned in the media for sure, but if you have ever been through a season where there's a chemical dependency wreaking havoc on your home, you know how tough it can be, especially if it's parents looking at kids going through this. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, a special edition of the program featuring parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and an encore presentation of a conversation he recorded not too long ago with John Baker. Now, John Baker is the founder of Celebrate Recovery that started at Saddleback Church and has gone international. And he has written a book called Life's Healing Choices. And today during the program, we're going to talk about freedom from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. Learn more at apu.edu. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. I kind of feel like we need a drum roll today because I have wanted John Baker in our program for a long time. We're talking today about freedom from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. John Baker is with us. He's written a great book called Life's Healing Choices. I read it this weekend, and I really like it. It's true that hurting people hurt others, but the cycle of hurt and pain can be stopped in your life, and you can experience true healing for you or for a loved one. And this is the kind of material that we've got to make sure that we get across to our kids as well. John Baker is a pastor at Saddleback Church in Southern California. He's been a pastor there since 1991. He's the founder of the incredibly highly successful recovery program called Celebrate Recovery, which I love. It's now active in more than 10,000 churches across the United States, also in at least 26 other countries. 500,000 people have been through this. This is a movement. Interesting enough, John Baker is a former functioning alcoholic who has been sober for 18 years. He and his wife, Cheryl, have been married for 37 years. They have two kids and two grandkids. Actually, his son, John, who's also a pastor of the Celebrate Recovery movement at Saddleback, is with us in studio sitting here today, too. So it's great to have you with us, John.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Been looking forward to it for a long time. Now, you describe yourself as a former functioning alcoholic. Tell us how bad you got and how you broke free.
Yeah. Well, when we introduce ourselves at Celebrate Recovery, we say, my name is John. I'm a believer who struggles with alcoholism. And the difference at a secular recovery meeting is, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm a believer who struggles. My identity is in Jesus Christ. Hmm. I'm not going to let my sin addiction to alcohol identify me. And yes, I'm a functional alcoholic, and a lot of people don't really understand that term. But I started, my story goes back from the very, very early days. I had to be the best at everything I did because deep down inside, I never felt good enough for my parents, my girlfriends, my teammates, my coaches, teachers, you name it. And if I wasn't good enough for them, how in the world could I ever be good enough for God? I accepted Christ in my heart at age 13. I must have missed the Sunday messages on unconditional love, on God's unconditional love and freely given grace. And I tried to cover up that low self-esteem with a very high ego, and that's not a very comfortable way to wake up every morning. Well, when I packed for my freshman year in college, I packed that non-existent self-esteem right along with me, and I joined a fraternity, and I had my first drink of alcohol, and from that first drink, I felt like I belonged, like I finally fit in for the first time in my life. It wasn't long. I was majoring in business administration and minoring in partying. Went through the service. My wife and I got married my last year in college because the Vietnam War was in full swing and I knew I would be called in the service. I was a pilot in the Air Force and, again, drank daily, seeing it as a cure for that emptiness, that just an emptiness of my soul is the best way I can describe it, and not seeing it as a sin, certainly at this time. I can remember getting in my planes in the morning, getting on 100% oxygen to cure my hangovers. And so this went on. I was in business. I was successful in business. As a matter of fact, I achieved every one of my life's career and financial goals by the time I was 30 years old. There was a song way back when I was 30 years old, "Is That All There Is?" And that just kept playing through my head as the drinking increased. And finally, it finally caught up with me. Our marriage was certainly not what it should have been. I think the best way to describe me was I wasn't a mean drunk or a falling down drunk. I just was emotionally unavailable for my family.
And that
is
the case with a lot of addictions,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't drink to get drunk. I drank so I didn't feel, so I didn't have to feel. And this went on for a long time. And my wife, Cheryl, finally, after 19 years of this, had enough. And she said, "Let's go to counseling, or you need to leave." And at that time, I chose my addiction as more important than my family. And I left. And a 13-month separation began. It was during that time that I hit my bottom. And I started going to AA. And my family, I would visit the kids on the weekends. And they asked me to go to church with them one Sunday. And I hadn't been in church for 5 years. I was running from God. And I said I'd go. And Saddleback didn't have any buildings, didn't have any property at that time. We met in a gymnasium. And I walked in, heard Pastor Rick Warren's message, heard the music, and I was home. 5 months after that, my wife and I began to work on, during those 5 months, we worked on a lot of the issues that had torn our marriage apart. And we renewed our marriage vows. And last October, we celebrated 38 years of marriage. And she's been serving by my side of Celebrate Recovery since it began.
Yeah, that is actually an incredibly wonderful story. Now, one of the things you said that was interesting is when you said when you began to drink in your fraternity, you basically found a home also, just like you said, with the church. And in many ways, it worked for you.
Well, it did. It did.
And that's the issue that a lot of times we don't talk about is that it fills our emptiness. It fills the holes in our heart. So one of the powers of addiction is that, you know, it works.
Yeah, it can be sex, drugs, you name it, relationships, whatever it is. If, you know, if that works for you, then you're for that time, for that short time, you're okay, but you always need more.
Right.
Because it never lasts.
Right. Now, what do you say to the mom who maybe is afraid that their kids are going in that direction, or the person, the Cheryls of the world, who you know, was living with someone who was struggling with some type of an addiction? What's your message to them?
Well, the good news is that Celebrate Recovery will help them too. It's not just for the addict, because each addict affects 1, 2, 3, 4 people that they're around. And if I can just give you some statistics that I found in Time magazine on July 18th issue of this year. So it's How We Get Addicted was a cover story. Alcohol, 18.7 million Americans, 7.7% of the U.S. population are dependent on alcohol. Drugs, 3.8 million. Sex, 16 million Americans suffer from compulsive sexual behavior. The study said that 60% were abused as children and 30% of those are women. Gambling, 6 million Americans are addicted to gambling. Food, 4 million. The list goes on and on and on. And you figure each one of those affects 1, 2, or 3 people. That is a lot of the population.
Yeah.
So every household is affected somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, those are statistics, but those statistics have names and faces, and
they
live near us or they live next door to us.
In our house.
Yeah, they're in our house.
Right.
Or even those of us who have younger kids, they could. It could go that direction if we're not careful. Now, one of the things, John, that you say in your great book, by the way, Life's Healing Choices, is you say that happiness and healing are yours for choosing. Now, how can a person who is completely caught up in a life-dominating addiction like the ones you just mentioned, how can they grasp that fact that it's a choice?
Well, the first one is the first choice is admitting need, and we call that the reality choice. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, the most difficult one to make. It's that time that you finally say, I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
I mean, let me give you an example, Jim. I would, towards the end, I would walk into a bar praying, God, don't let me drink today. As I'm walking into a bar. So guess what I ended up doing? I ended up drinking.
Sure.
I just could not, on my own power, my own willpower, as much as I quit every morning, but I started every night. So quitting was never a problem. It was starting again. But it was when I finally admitted that I could not control this on my own that I was able to reach out and get help.
Boy, that's a great input. Listen, I want to talk more just about that, but we're going to take a break right now. The book is called Life's Healing Choices. What a privilege to have John Baker with us. He's the founder of the incredible program called Celebrate Recovery. And by the way, as Roger will mention to you, Celebrate Recovery website is linked to our front page today at Homeward. So if this is your story, or if this is a story of somebody who you know, and it probably is, then take a look at that. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
Yeah, if you want to navigate our home page at homeward.com to get to John's information, it's very easy to do. We have a radio broadcast tab on the homepage, and it's got all of the, because there's four different radio broadcasts, a lot of different resources connected to it. So if you go to homeward.com, then click on the tab for radio broadcasts, then you'll see the broadcast listings. And of course, the program for today is featuring Jim Burns' interview with John Baker on freedom from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. You click on John's name, and it takes you right to the information about Celebrate Recovery. You can learn about the book, Life's Healing Choices, all programs and resources that we highly recommend here at Homeward. And as Jim mentioned, too, Jim's written a book called How to Talk to Your Kids About Drugs, and that's a book that you can order directly from our online resource center as well. If you order Jim's book on drug prevention, you'll find that a portion of the proceeds of the sale of that book actually go to support our ministry. So lots of different ways that you can get good information and ways that you can help support the ministry of Homeward, too. Learn more at homeward.com. And now the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward broadcast. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, John Baker with us today. We're talking about freedom from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And don't we all have hurts, hang-ups, and habits? Let's just be honest about that. John Baker is a pastor at Saddleback Church in Southern California. He's been a pastor there since 1991. Founder of the highly successful recovery program there called Celebrate Recovery, not just there, but in 10,000 plus churches in the United States and also in 26 other countries. He was a former functioning alcoholic. And if you were listening to the program, you just heard his story. He's been sober for over 18 years, been married to his wife, Cheryl, for 38 years, two kids and two grandkids. One of the things that you said was that you finally have to come to a point where you hit bottom and you realize that you can't do it alone. And you have an acrostic that we're going to walk through both in today and next time that says recovery. But basically, you have to realize that you're not God.
Right, right. And that is the first choice. Like I said, the admitting need, the reality choice. But it is realized I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, that my life is unmanageable. And each of the choices go with the Beatitudes. Right. This is a biblically based program because that's where the healing truly is, and the lasting healing. And Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. It was finally that I was trying to play God. Right. And you know, my universe went around me and my poor choices.
Yeah.
And I finally was able to make a good one.
Well, it's still a process, though, isn't it? Because you were walking into a bar saying, God, help me not to drink.
Right.
And so you were beginning to understand it. For some people, it's an aha where they just, you know, figure it out.
Right.
And for others, it's kind of a process of where you almost do have to hit bottom and realize that you're not God.
And a lot of times, you know, the word is codependence.
Yeah.
We try to help our loved ones, our kids, or whoever, when they have an addiction or they're starting to get into an area that's going to cause them trouble. And basically, we can enable them in that.
Right.
And it is something that's why it's important for the family to go to Celebrate Recovery. We have programs for junior high and high school kids. Doug Fields and myself put together Life Hurts, God Heals.
Right. It's a great program.
And we're trying to get it down to the youngest age and save them from when they're 30 or 40 from coming into Celebrate Recovery.
You're exactly right, and that makes a lot of sense. Now, when people are trying to play God, I thought it was interesting. You say oftentimes they'll continue to suffer with fear, frustration, fatigue, and failure. And those are things when we're trying to play God that does take place, doesn't it?
It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, to live that lifestyle that I was living, to keep that mask on. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work.
Now, when you're saying, you were talking about codependence, so here you are moving through this with some fear, frustration, fatigue, and failure, or feeling like a failure, and your wife, Cheryl, had to be doing some of this codependency through that process. What is the message to the codependent? How can they help somebody when maybe they aren't, the person who's struggling with addiction aren't ready to realize that they're not God?
Well, One of the things through the years we've done, we do annual surveys at Celebrate Recovery, and this is at Saddleback Church, so just one church, but we've had over 10,000 people go through the program at Saddleback, and only one out of three are dealing with drugs and alcohol. And when people hear the word recovery, they think immediately of drugs and alcohol, but codependence, anger, sexual addiction, sexual abuse, you name it. Right. So what I would suggest for somebody who's in a relationship where their loved one won't get help yet, they haven't hit their bottom, they can choose to come to Celebrate Recovery because they're going to be able to deal with them in a healthy manner.
Right. No, that's
and not enable them.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I was in a support group. I'm still in a support group, but this is a different one. A number of years ago, and we went through kind of a Christian 12-step program, very similar to what you're doing. I'm not sure it was as good as what yours is. And none of us were struggling with alcoholism.
Right.
And it was a spiritually enlightening experience for us to go through it because the values were phenomenal. And as I've read your book, Life's Healing Choices, the values are phenomenal. It's a major growth experience just spiritually, even if they weren't struggling with an addiction.
Well, when we get through the choices, when we get to the seventh and eighth one,
if
everybody lived their life that way, this would be a pretty good place to live.
Exactly. But I kind of want to walk us through it, and we will get to that, I promise. But what's the cure, you know, of this first one, when you're talking about realizing that you're not God? Obviously, the cure is agreeing with God that He's God and by admitting your weakness. But how do you begin to develop this humble heart in the midst of this incredible, intense addiction that's taking over your life?
That takes time. It's really not in that first choice. That first choice is just saying, I can't do it by myself.
Yeah, good.
And it's going to take more work, some more humility along the way. Yeah. But that comes, you know, as we go through them. And that's what I really love about the way the choices are mapped out. It is a progressive. You know, you can't make the first choice and jump to four.
Right.
You got to make choice two and three.
Yeah.
Because it won't be complete.
Well, let's look at choice two. Earnestly believing that God exists. Talk about that.
Well, and the next line on that is that I matter to Him.
Yeah.
For myself, that was so key.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I mattered to anybody. And when I finally could say, I matter to God, and Christ went to the cross for me, it was a major breakthrough. But it is that, first of all, I was trying to play God. Now in the second choice, I really believe that God exists, and I'm not Him, and I matter to Him, and He has the power to help me recover. I do not have the power, and that was a big relief. That was a big relief, because I couldn't do it, but God can.
How do you deal with somebody who says, yeah, I want to believe that, but I'm just struggling with that I really matter? I've blown it so many ways. You know, I've blown this family off. I have these problems. Because typically people with addictions have a story behind the story. That seems to me that that's a tough concept for some people.
It is because, you know, we try to make our image of God can get distorted. It could be a father who we think that if my father was God, is anything like God, I don't want that. And when we grow, it isn't. This is a process. This is not a book you just read and you're done with. You put it on the shelf.
Right.
This will help you discover your hurts, hang-ups, and habits and some answers on how to work through them. Yeah. But if you've been deeply hurt or you're in a deep addiction, you're going to need more help than that. That's what's excites me about the book, is it's just not a book, now go feel better. You read it.
Right.
If you need help, Celebrate Recovery is there to help you.
Right.
There's men and women just like you. And I think as they read the stories, that there's 16 life-changing stories in there from all different kinds of hurts, hang-ups, and habits. They can see if God can do that for them, God can do it for you too.
Yeah, that's a great point. Maybe the first step for them is to read the book and then start taking some of the jumps.
Right.
Now, the third one is consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. I love that you use the scripture in the Beatitudes, happy are the meek. Again, walk us through that particular step.
Well, This is the big one. This is the one that separates secular recovery programs from a Christ-centered recovery program. When you turn your life over to Christ, that's where lasting recovery is going to begin. And, you know, you hear about, and I'll tell you a little bit more about my story in this. You hear about an AA, and AA does a great job of helping people not drink today. That's all they ever said they wanted to do. Celebrate Recovery, we're concerned not just with the alcoholics, we're concerned with the entire family, and we're more concerned with them finding a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's where the answer lies. So as we turn our life over, that's a major decision, the most important decision you'll ever make. However, the will, when you're first in your first days of recovery, your first months, you're going to have to turn your will over maybe 50 times a day. But that is the big one, and that's where Christ died for all the junk I did while I was out there in my sin addiction. And when I, and as we get through the other parts of the choices, I was able to lay that all at the cross, and I was free from it. Now, I had some work to do. I had some repair work to do, and we're going to get into that as we go through it. Because if I had said to Cheryl, well, I've quit drinking, and I've turned it over to God, and I know I'm forgiven, so let's just forget about all the junk I did in the past, that wouldn't have worked. And when we get down to choice six, we're going to talk about how to restore the relationships.
John, we don't have much time left, but you share so many great stories in your book about people who really have walked the road to recovery. Is there one that really sticks in your mind that you could encourage us with as we conclude the program today?
Well, I love them all because they're all people that I've had to share, had an opportunity to share in their recoveries. But just if you're going to make me pick one, I'll pick Bob. And Bob came to Celebrate Recovery when he was 21 years old. Long hair, his life was falling apart. He was alcoholic, struggling with alcoholism. And his life at 21 was, he was getting kicked out of his house. He had a family business. They were kicking him out of that. And he was at his bottom. Well, Bob did everything that was asked of him. And when he turned his life over to Christ, he turned his life over to Christ. So through the years, Bob just continued to grow as a man. He got married and grew as a husband. He's a dad today. And this is the exciting part. He left Celebrate Recovery at Saddleback, and he is now the pastor at Central Christian Church in Las Vegas of Celebrate Recovery, a church of 12,000.
It's a great story. The story is that he could never have done that without going through the process.
Only God.
And what I love about that is God uses us in the midst of our sinfulness, in the midst of our brokenness. He takes that, builds it back together, and then we can help others as
well.
You
bet.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with John Baker here on the Homeward Broadcast. John is a familiar voice to many who, of course, have been through the Celebrate Recovery programs. Matter of fact, if you saw the recent movie that was out a couple months ago called Home Run, about a hotshot athlete who is trying to make the majors and he's got an alcohol problem, he goes through Celebrate Recovery, and John Baker and his son have cameos in that movie. It's kind of fun to see them doing that. But we're talking about freedom from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits today here on the Homeward Broadcast, and we'll continue this conversation on the next edition of the program. Jim, I know for the past nearly 30 years now, you've been writing about this, you've been talking about this, you've been cautioning parents about this. Why is it so important for us as parents to pay attention to this issue?
Well, I think it is, and basically two words, drugs work. We don't like to say that to parents, but John was saying that. I mean, it works. It medicates our pain. It's temporary, but it medicates our pain. You know, the teen and really even the preteen years anymore are a real emotional roller coaster for kids, and they're going to experience some up moments that are euphoric, but then they might also experience some down times that will make them feel as though they're experiencing a lot of pain. We as parents sometimes think it's little pain.
Yeah, we think it's drama.
To them, it's big time pain. Yeah. When a kid chooses to use drugs or alcohol to try to numb the pain, well, they're going to find some relief, as I was saying, at least temporarily. But that's when the danger sets in, Roger, because each time they self-medicate, well, they'll have to use a stronger dose to get the same feeling of relief. And that's a recipe for addiction. Now, if you suspect that your son or daughter might have an addiction to either drugs or alcohol, don't wait. Get the help you need right away. Also, take a look at your own family makeup to see if there might be a predisposition toward addictive behavior in this area. And if there is, then get the help. Buy this book, go to a counselor, get whatever help you need. But if you think that your kids or even suspect that your kids may be having a problem with this, get help and get it today.
Yeah, don't wait. And go to homeward.com is a good place to start. If you hit the articles and media section, we have a number of helpful tip sheets, etc., things of that nature that you can take a look at on, you know, help for finding help. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has written a book. This is the third incarnation of this book. It started out as a book called Drug Proof Your Kids back in the 1980s, and every couple of years, we just update it and come up with new information. The latest iteration of that book is called How to Talk to Your Kids About Drugs. You can order a copy of that book directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministries. There's stuff in there about diet pills, steroids, and all sorts of things too. So check that out. That information is available at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Like Jim said, don't wait. Take action.
Well, thank you, Roger. And I do appreciate John Baker, and I appreciate the Celebrate Recovery. You know, for me, just recently, I've been going through some of this. I'm not an alcoholic,
right?
But since I come from a family where there's dysfunction, as all families are, then, you know, it's been a real neat process for me to kind of work through that. And I was in a small group a couple of years ago where we went through a Christian 12-step program just like Celebrate Recovery. Very beneficial for my own spiritual life to once again admit that I can't do it on my own, that I need God, and then actually go through a moral inventory. And that moral inventory was a very special time for me. And I would suggest that to many of our listeners, they may want to go through something like this on their own. I really appreciate the book. I thought it was very, very helpful. Be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with John Baker of Celebrate Recovery Ministries, Saddleback Church here in Orange County, where our studio is. It's called Freedom from Your Hurts, Hangups, and Habits will be our topic continuing. And it's going to be a helpful, informative discussion, I am sure. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.